Are you crying yet?
If you play this for another couple seconds, you'll see tears in my eyes.
Steve,
it's,
you?
It's very emotional.
It's a very important song.
Baseball, you do even know what it is.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
It's the theme from The Natural. I want to say Randy Newman. Is it Randy Newman who wrote this, composed this?
Yes.
It is, right?
According to Kevin, who it just is? Nodded. I didn't know
who
that.
Who doesn't know who Randy Newman is?
Well, Kevin had... I don't want to tattle, but
please
Kevin
do.
Has not seen the movie The Natural. Mm.
Which I find shocking. I've seen it. It's a wonderful movie, but in my humble opinion, it affects men more than women.
You know, I think it does, because with sports movies, it's the only time guys are allowed to cry.
Except
if
for
we
you.
See, I cried during The Great Muppet Caper.
Hey, Bill.
I got sad during that. Yeah, Steve.
Want to have a catch?
I'll have a catch with
That's
you.
That's not from this movie, though.
I know, but it still makes me cry, okay?
Right.
Okay, because can I just say, I asked that same question,
oh.
and he goes, yeah, that's the wrong movie.
Yeah.
That's
still,
Field of Dreams.
That moment is just... Yep.
All right, let me ask you this then, Steve, because I feel like a dummy. I see movies, and then I forget that I've seen them,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes I watch them, which I found out your wife is like sometimes too, where like she'll read a book, and at the end of the book, she'll go, oh, I already read that.
Yeah, on the last page.
I'm like that with movies. One-hour photo with
Robin Williams.
I thought I never saw it. In about the last 10 minutes, I go, yeah, we did see this before.
Yeah.
So when I saw The Natural, I loved it. It was a great movie. Is that Robert Redford?
Robert Redford's
okay.
in that, yep.
But I didn't recall that there was some kind of shooting was in it.
And pivotal.
Okay. Well,
up at the Edgewater Hotel, right? Wasn't it?
Steve, well done.
Thank
Funny you.
You
say that, because we have Lindsay Rice in the studio. She's a reporter for DNA Info. And Edgewater is your beat, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I live in Edgewater, and it's part of my beat, Edgewater, Rogers Park, and West Rogers Park.
Okay, so explain the tragic and true story of the shooting that inspired that movie with the lovely theme by Randy Newman, The Natural.
So this is just a really crazy story. I came across this in just like my obsession with the hotel and its history, which was knocked down in the late 1960s, early 1970s. But if it had still been up this year, actually June 3rd, it would have been 100 years
wow.
of the hotel being here.
And why'd they tear it down? Just it was decrepit, it was falling apart, or?
When Lakeshore Drive extended past Foster all the way up to Hollywood in the 1950s, it totally knocked out their private beach, which was a huge draw. And then they kind of replaced it with a pool, and it was really just
Not the same
after that. So thanks a lot, Lakeshore Drive. You ruined everything.
Yeah,
pretty much.
It always does.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure we can all relate. So in just kind of reading about the hotel, I came across this story, which is depicted in the movie The Natural. And in real life, it's about former Cub first baseman Eddie Waitkus.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the 1948 season, start of the 1949 season, he was traded from the Cubs to the Phillies.
All right.
Little did he know that he had a fan here in Chicago who lived in Lincoln Park at the time, Ruth Ann Steinhagen, and she had a very difficult upbringing. She describes like being very lonely, very sad, not ever being happy, and she developed an obsession with Waitkus.
Stalker, I think we call it these days.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, what this whole case ended up doing was being one of the first high-profile stalking cases in the U.S., which really brought a lot of attention to it, which, sort of ironically, now the stalking is included in the Violence Against Women Act.
Right.
But, of course, this is an instance where it's the other way around.
And what this is in the 40s?
This happened in 1949, 67 years ago yesterday, so
wow.
June 14th. So when he came through in the 1948 season, a lot of the teams used to stay at the hotel in Edgewater because it was pretty close to Wrigley Field, and it was, you know, real swanky for the nice
right.
ball players. And so she knew that he was going to be there. About a month before, she made a reservation. She checked in the day that the team, the day before the team checked
so
in.
So she's ready.
So she's all ready. She's geared up.
But Lindsay, at this point, mm-hmm. the two of them had not met.
They had not met. He was completely unaware of her. However, when he was playing for the Cubs, she would go see him many times at
mm-hmm.
Wrigley Field play.
Mm-hmm.
So the day of this game comes. There's a game with the Phillies playing the Cubs. And she goes and she watches until about the sixth inning, and then it's time to put her plan in motion. So she gets a cab. She goes back to the hotel. She starts getting everything prepared. She has a 22-gauge rifle with her. She props it up in the closet. Some reports said that she wasn't really a heavy drinker, but that she actually ordered a few drinks that night.
To loosen you up before you, you know, you follow through with your stalking.
Oh, right, right. You know, just pre-stalking jitters.
It's so, not funny, but it is.
Right, right. Of course. No, not funny. But
Was her plan to, forgive me for asking this, but was her plan to seduce him, sleep with him, and then kill him? Or
that's
was that
what
not
you should
even,
do. That's the way
order.
You go.
That's the right order.
You would think so, but no. She seemed like she really just
wanted him dead.
Because she didn't want anyone else to have him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Is that it? Yeah.
She felt really betrayed once he.
Oh, when he left the
got
Cubs?
Traded. Oh. Because no longer could she come. You know, she described, like, well, one day I just saw his face. Like, everything in my life was terrible. And then one day I saw him. And all of a sudden, the feeling of happiness grew and grew and grew each time I, you know, saw him. So
right.
when he got traded,
her
he
happiness
was leaving her, basically.
Was taken away.
Right.
Wow.
So
I got to rewatch The Natural now.
In the movie, it's a little bit different, but
there's more of a sexual component to it, right?
Movie? There's some more flirtation happening in the movie. So
I'm trying to remember. It was Barbara Hershey, I think, who plays that character, right?
Yeah, the character's last name was Bird. I remember.
Bonnie or Barbara Bird, one of those.
Yeah,
I think.
Barbara Bird, something
Does that
like
sound
that.
Right? Yes. Barbara Bird Bennett. No, that's that's completely different. You can't pin this. Or it's Harriet Bird.
Yeah,
it's
that's
Harriet
it. Yeah,
Bird. Mm-hmm. You can't pin this on Barbara Bird Bennett.
I wasn't trying
nice try.
To. I swear we'll I got to rewatch this movie because I don't even remember that. So she's got the shotgun ready and she's just waiting. Is she in his room?
No, she's in her own room. She writes a note on, you know, stationery from the hotel that says, you know, you don't know who I am. I know this sounds really unusual, but I have some really important news for you. I think it's, you know, to your interest to come see me when you get this. I promise I won't take much of your time. And she signs it Ruth Ann Burns. So, you know, sort of a similar name. But so around 11:30, he comes over to her room.
What, did she slide it under the door or something?
Or
left it at the desk?
Yeah, some people said she either slid it under the door, she left it on his door. She paid the bellboy $5 to bring it to his door. But either way, it got there. So she waits. She kind of like takes a nap, just chills out. And then...
Wait, can I ask a favor? Because there's more to the story. It starts good. It gets even better and more twisted. Hold your thoughts for just a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
Lindsay Rice is here telling us about the true story behind Baseball's
awesome.
The Natural. This is good. Can you come by like when I'm ready to sleep at night and tell me these stories? I love this sort of thing. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. If you've read the novel The Natural by Bernard Malamud or seen the movie directed by Barry Levinson, you know that there's a very pivotal scene where Roy Hobbs gets shot by something of a stalker. It was early to call her a stalker, but she was something of a stalker. Well, it turns out that that's a real life story. Lindsay Rice from DNA Info is here. She covered the story. She knows the story inside out. You were telling us the story. For people just tuning in, Lindsay, just a brief background of where we are so far in the story.
So at this point in the story, a 19-year-old Ruth Ann
Steinhagen.
Yeah. Yes, of course.
I've got your article right here.
Ruth Ann Steinhagen, 19-year-old Chicago woman. She was a typist. She was obsessed with a former Cub, Eddie Wakis, first baseman, who had been traded to the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah.
And she kind of felt betrayed by that, and she formed an obsession with him and began stalking him. She stalked him when he came to the Edgewater Beach Hotel, which has since been demolished, but she checked in the hotel about the same time the team did, and she wrote a very mysterious note summoning him to her room. So,
and she just said, the door's open, just open it, come on in, it's easy, I'm there, I have important news to tell you.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, come find me. And so actually he telephoned her when he got the note, and she said, give me a half an hour to get dressed, I was sleeping. And so 11:30 p.m., he comes to her room and, you know, he comes inside. She either welcomes him in or says, you know, come right on in. And you know, he's kind of like, what's going on? Hello. And everybody who I wrote about Waitkus that I saw described him as a very friendly, like one of the nicest guys that they knew.
Was he married?
Well, I'm not sure if he was at that time.
Yeah.
I know he was later. But some said he might have had a girlfriend on the road. So I don't know. I'm not trying to get into his family's
and
business.
And it was common, wasn't it, for a lot of the baseball players? I mean,
back then. Anymore, Wendy, but back then.
Why are you winking? Do you have something in your eye?
There's a weird dust mite or something. But back then, the players weren't always.
But I mean, that rock and rollers and baseball players, I mean, they have groupies. And it's, you know, he gets this mysterious note, you know, I won't take much of your time. I want to talk to you about something very important. If he's a nice guy, he's going to go see what she wants.
Come on.
Exactly.
Yeah. Either way, whatever he was expecting, he was happy to oblige, it seemed. So he did go to her room. And so he came in and sat down. And she said something like, I have a surprise for you. And she turns around.
She's right.
And she definitely is right.
She did.
She turns around. She goes to the closet where she has her rifle all propped up and ready for her. And she turns around and points it at him. And some people reported that she said something like, you won't be bothering me anymore.
Oh, that's nice.
And, you know, and in his mind, he's probably thinking like, who are you? I didn't even know I was bothering you. And she shot him right in the chest, right on the right side, right below his heart. And he kind of, as she described later on in court documents, that she just kind of was like, I couldn't believe that I did it. I didn't see him bleeding. I didn't see a bullet hole. I was just kind of in shock. And he was just asking me, you know, baby, why did you do that?
That's a good question.
What did you do that for? You know, and she said that he was just looking at her smiling. And she kind of stayed there with him, cradled his head. And some people said that they even held hands while she, you know, she called the front desk and said, call a doctor. There's a person who's been shot.
Yeah.
And so police came and doctors came, and it all happened pretty quickly after that.
He did not die.
He didn't die.
That was my next question.
He survived. And actually, this happened on June 14th.
Is this where the phrase bleeding cubby blue comes from? Is this the first time that anybody truly
fled? He was a Philly.
Oh, he did get traded.
So he was technically a Philly.
Did he still play professional baseball after this? He did. He went back and played after this.
Yeah, for several more seasons, for about, I believe, until 54 or 55, he continued to play, and then he retired after that.
Imagine getting shot in the chest and still somehow being able to play Major League Baseball. That seems unlikely.
Well,
he didn't do
it right afterwards.
Well, no, not the next day. Right, he wasn't on the 10-minute DL or anything like that. Right.
Yeah, I mean, this had happened in June, so he was out for the rest of the 49 season, you know, recovering. And he was in critical condition initially, but he was out of the hospital in like 10 days or so.
Wow.
So, but, you know, he's still with injuries, but he really wasn't.
He missed vital organs, obviously.
Yeah, so he. But he was back for the 1950, the start of that season.
He was. Mm-hmm. And what be? Oh, go
what
on,
happened
Wendy.
To her?
So
we only have like a minute or so.
So the case centered a lot around her mental health. She ended up getting committed to Kankakee County Hospital or State Hospital. She underwent electric shock therapy for just under 3 years. And then once they found that she was quote unquote sane, they brought her back to the Cook County Jail where they thought about retrying her, but he refused to ever press charges against her. So
why?
Seriously?
He just didn't. I don't know. It just speaks to his character, I guess. He just never did.
And he survived, so, you know.
He died of cancer in 1972, and she actually continued living in Chicago. She went free after that. She lived in Chicago.
Not allowed to attend Cub games, I'm hoping, right? They keep a picture of her at the front gate.
Yeah. and she died in 2012, kind of just like living under the radar.
That recently?
Yeah. And it was discovered,
wow.
I think, in like 2013. Shortly after her death, another reporter was doing some other story and discovered that she had died and made that connection. And
even when the book and the movie were both big hits, mm-hmm. nobody put that together at the time and said, we got to talk to the woman who inspired this. That didn't happen.
Well, I'm sure people did try to get in touch with her, but all the accounts that I read described her in her later years as being very reclusive and private, and that she basically never talked to the press about it at all.
That's such a weird, strange case of you're injuring someone that you idolize, but then she was able to take care of him and hold his hand and spend time with him. It's like she created that situation so they could be close.
Yeah.
That's really wild, yet very poetic.
Yeah, it's so strange. I mean, you got to have some compassion and like some empathy for her as well, because the way that she described just growing up was tough. And so it really seemed like she was yearning for a close connection with somebody and kind of invented that with this person, but then actually did save his life in this strange twist.
She made the call. A lot of it's surprising, but she was only 19. In the movie, Barbara Hershey's character is up in her 30s somewhere, and you kind of create your own backstory there. But 19 is incredibly young for something like this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
This was awesome. You've got to come back the next time you have one of these little mysteries and tell us about it. This is really fascinating. Lindsay Rice in the studio, reporter for DNA Info. You can go to dnainfo.com. Any other website we need to send people to find you?
You can find us on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram, DNA Info, Chai, C-H-I.
Is that a real one, or did you make that up? That's a real one?
I'm making it up right now, so
that's cool. That's
I got to hurry home and get it going.
All right, good. Lindsay,
this was really cool.
Yeah, excellent.
Story
next
time.
Next time, the true story about angels in the outfield, next time you're on, will you? All right, that'll
I'll
be
start
fun.
Start it right now.
All right, thank you, Lindsay. We appreciate
thank you.
Lindsay Rice with DNA Info. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.